Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 3: Salvager. I had traveled with the Salvager's army for many days, silently slinking around in the shadows, praying to God that no one would find me hidden amongst them. On the 15th day, we finally rolled into the Egyptian capital. The Salvager's army set up camp in Cairo. From there, they would dispatch teams to different parts of Egypt to help rebuild the war-torn nation. For many, the arduous journey across Europe and into Africa had ended. But for me, the journey had only begun. God came to me in my dreams that night, bearing yet again the face of my father. I had many questions to ask him, but with a look he silenced my mind. I would get all my answers with time, or so he said. I saw him look towards the west, where a light burned brightly, veiled beyond the horizon, boding hope and the promise of a new beginning. But there stood a tall range of mountains between me and the light. Mountains of calamities that I had yet to surmount before I could yet again be one with my beloved Lord. The Lord then pointed to the south, where a great fire consumed a large forest. From within I could hear the screams of many who were being ravaged and raped in the lands where suffrage was a part of existence. I looked into the eyes of my father, and at once I realized that what he wished of me. The Lord looked at me and smiled knowingly. He smiled knowingly, for he knew the questions that still lingered in my mind. "You shall get all your answers with time." Saying so, he gently plucked out one of his flowing locks and threw it into the east, where it lay not far from me. "Seek that lock of my hair, and you shall find your guide," the Lord said. God came to me in a vision yesterday. As the Salvager's army disbanded in Egypt, with each team going on its respectively assigned tasks, I was left with staring at a void. For though till now I had lied about my place within the army as a volunteer, officially I had no business being there in Africa. Hence I had to disappear as soon as I could, or the official papers would not lie. There was no 28-year-old volunteer from Hobsburg in the records of the Salvager's army. After the army landed in Cairo, I quietly sunk away into one of its many by-lanes, never to be seen again by any of the Salvagers. I had with myself only a few $100 to spare, and could not think of any way I could begin the journey southwards. For starters, I knew not where I had to go, and what I had to accomplish. Africa was the largest continent in the world, and nearly three-quarters of it lay to the south of where I stood. No wonder at that point in time, I started regretting my decision to leave Hobsburg and the home of my ancestors. It was that very night when I slept on the streets of Cairo that the Lord appeared to me. God came to me in a vision yesterday. The following morning, I was awakened by a woman who was screaming in derision a few yards away from where I was sleeping. I made my way there to find out the source of all the chaos. From what I could understand, I had apparently dozed off behind the retaining wall of the Cairo City Hospital, a state-owned medical care center. I walked further ahead towards the chaotic scene to find out what exactly had happened to the woman who was still lying screaming and crying out in wild madness. Apparently it was her son, who was lying unconscious on the ground, taking whose case she had approached the city hospital. Cairo in itself was in no dearth of sick people, and thus the hospital was operating to its capacity and had denied her son the admission for inspection and proper medical care unless she could bribe the hospital staff, following which her son's life could be spared. The woman was cursing the belligerent hospital staff for all she was worth. I know not what made me walk towards her, but there was something about me that I always bore a weakness for suffering. I could not bear to see people around me suffer, And for that, I always try to ease them of their pain, even if it be for a short period of time. As I approached the scene, I felt a small tingle run up my spine. A strange sense of foreboding, accompanied by an elevated sense of awareness. Something was different. I could sense it. I approached the man lying on the ground and felt his forehead. He was burning with fever. A strong wave of compassion and benevolence overcame me as I knelt down and grabbed the youth in my arms, embracing him, endearing him to my chest, and holding him there for his life. My eyes burned with the heat that was pulsing through the boy's forehead as I held him in my arms, pleading to God that he be saved. I knew not what overcame me. It was as if the impulse to help the dying lad came from within, and just like that, after a few minutes, I let go of his frail body and stood up abruptly. The job was done. I walked on aimlessly further up the road, hardly feeling the real world that moved past me, hardly feeling the curious stares of the people that walked past me, quizzing themselves if there was something wrong with me. I had simply blanked out. My eyes were burning. They were burning and I could not bear to look up at the sun. The heat was overbearing and I frantically looked around for some shade. My body was burning up. As I searched aimlessly, not even sure of what I was looking for, my legs gave way and arms flailing I blacked out and fell. I fell, but I fell not to the ground. For he was there.